Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, greatly to be praised.
come into the room. Just walk down these aisles and sit here and be with us tonight, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus.
I love your presence.
us, move on our hearts. Help us to love Jesus with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. We can't love that way without you in us, helping us to love. So we cry out, we want to love Jesus more. We want to love him fully, completely, wholly, with all our hearts. We want to love you, Jesus.
Heart that is fully in love.
wanted on the cross beam, just a heart that is fully in.
It's what you wanted in the garden.
It's what you wanted on the mountain. It's what you wanted on the cross beam, just a heart that is fully in love.
Wanted on the garden.
It's what you wanted on the mountain. You wanted on the cross beam, just a heart that is fully in love.
What you wanted in the garden, yeah.
It's what you wanted on that mountain. It's what you wanted on the cross beam, just a heart that is fully in love.
I wanna love you more. I wanna love you.
odds of persecution is real. Burn your love upon my heart like a seal, that in the comfort of the culture it's real. Whoa. Like a lion, your fears like your brother.
Your goodness and say you are the Lord.
are fixed on this one thing, to know your goodness, see your glory, which transformed by this one thing, to know your presence, see your beauty, Jesus, you're our one thing, Jesus, you're
We want more. This song in intercession. Wake up, wake up, our city, wake up, America. Wake up, wake up. Your healing is here, salvation is come. Wake up and know what time it is, O church. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, O sleeper.
All you dreamers.
not our will, but yours be done. Oh, here we stand, our hearts are yours. Not our will, but yours be done. Oh, here we stand, our hearts are yours. Not our will, but yours be done. Oh, here we stand, our hearts are yours. Not your will, but yours be done.
In all that you reveal with light in us, you come to life and start.
All you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross. Bringing healing, bringing life.
Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For your nearness and your presence and leading us into all truth and being a comforter and counselor to us in every season we walk through. In every high place and every low place, we thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the one that provokes us to love the fair one more and more and more. The fairest of 10,000. To come alive, to wake up from our slumber and gaze into the eyes of our lover and to respond to the holy call of our bridegroom king. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're tender and gentle in your ways, yet so strong and so firm with your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us the keys to heaven, Lord. You give us wisdom and revelation from our Father in heaven. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful gift that is meant to be cherished and held tightly to, clinged to, the power at work within us. The seal of promise that we have inherited until one day Jesus comes and returns to a ready and pure and spotless bride and awakens us to watch and be aware and to be ready, pricks our hearts, prompts us to the yearnings of our Father's heart, what he's saying, what he's doing. Thank you, Holy One, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, that you are with us until the end of the age, you say in your word. Thank you. Thank you that we can stand in every promise that comes from your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our strength. Thank you for being our strength. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we bless your name. We thank you that your arms are open wide for us to come running into. Over and over and over again. Oh, how we long to stay there and never depart from your presence. Or you depart from us, Lord, with your presence. We long to stay. We long to cling, Lord. We long to cry out to you. Deep calls unto deep.
Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. You're so kind to us, Lord. Matthew 16, reading the Passion Translation, a paraphrase of this passage of Scripture. In verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question, 'What are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? And who do they believe I am?' They answered, 'Some are convinced you're John the Baptizer. Others say you're Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am?' Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, 'You're the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God.' Jesus replied, 'You are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed this to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this rock will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm, to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven.' And then gave his disciples strict orders not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. So from then on, Jesus began to clearly reveal to his disciples that he was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer injustice from the elders, the leading priests, and the religious scholars. He also explained that he would be killed and 3 days later be raised back to life again. Peter took him aside to correct him privately. He reprimanded Jesus over and over, saying to him, 'God forbid, Master, spare yourself. You must never let this happen to you.' And Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get out of my way, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, because your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints and not with the ways of God.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continue to discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you'll forfeit what you try to keep. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? I, the Son of Man, will one day return with my messengers and in the splendor and majesty of my Father, and I will reward each person according to what they have done. But I promise you, there are some standing here now who won't experience death until they have witnessed the coming of the Son of Man in the presence and in the power of the kingdom realm of God." Jumping over to Hebrews 10. Same paraphrase translation. It's a little bit of a switch, but it's just talking about the old covenant and now the new covenant that is had been established. Verse 19 in chapter 10 of Hebrews. "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. For he's dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. Just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we've been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other toward other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So, and then one last thing in Philippians 2. So it's a little bit of a switch with, it's, you know, looking at the time that Jesus was with his disciples on earth before he'd been taken to the cross, and then fast forward to what he'd accomplished with his blood, and how his blood atones for our sins. But there is an exhortation that Jesus was giving Peter about, you know, when you know, in the paraphrase, it just kind of lays it out in the language, the way that self-preservation and how he rebukes Peter. But then right after that, I don't think we always put two and two together when Jesus, when we talk about take up your cross and follow me, take up your cross and follow me. We never really remember the context of that, that right before that, Peter addresses him in pride, thinking that it's absurd what you're thinking of doing, not realizing that Jesus came exactly to do the will of his Father, and he came to give an example to his disciples, not this ultimate sacrifice, but the sacrificial obedience and the laying down of his life unto his Father in heaven. And then it shows us what he accomplished. But in Philippians 2, we know this is a very famous passage, where then it just describes the humble state and heart of our Jesus. He's a man, but he's fully God. So we're talking about the God of heaven and earth, not some person, you know. This is Jesus that we're speaking of, but he calls us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him just as he did. So I'll start in verse 1 and probably go to 8 in Philippians 2. Look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You're filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You've experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt his tender affection and mercy. Look at all these blessings and promises we have when Jesus has made a way for us. And he says in verse 2, so I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with abounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. This is so countercultural. Oh my goodness. Lord, do it in our hearts. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Let his mindset, the way Jesus thinks, the way that he's moved, what his heartbeat, Let that become every motivation on the inside of you. Every motivation. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human, in other words. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. And in verse 9, because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He is now given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord, Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. So, beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves, for then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God. Even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture, you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, holding out the words of eternal life. I haven't labored among you for nothing, for your lives are the fruit of my ministry and will be my glorious boast as the unveiling of Christ. But I will rejoice even if my life is poured out like a liquid offering to God over your sacrificial and surrender lives of faith. And so no matter what happens to me, you should rejoice in ecstatic celebration with me. I think the word is just speaking for itself. It's 8:30, so I'll just wrap up this passage. Verse 19, yet I'm trusting in our Lord Jesus that I may send Timothy to you soon as a spiritual son, so I can be refreshed when I find out how you're doing. Timothy's like no other. He carries the same passion for your welfare that I carry in my heart. For it seems as though everyone else is busy seeking what is best for themselves instead of the things that are most important to our Lord Jesus Christ. You already know about his excellent reputation, since he has served alongside me as a loyal son in the work of ministry. After I see what transpires with me, he's the one I will send to you to bless you. And I'm trusting in my Lord to return to you in due time. But for now, I feel a stirring in my spirit to send Epaphroditus back to you immediately. He's a friend to me and a wonderful brother and a fellow soldier who has worked with me as we serve as ministers of the gospel. And you send him as your apostle to minister to me in my need. But now he's grieved to know that you found out he had been sick, so he longs to return and comfort you in this. This is just beautiful, beautiful relational unified hearts in the body of Christ. It's true, he almost died, but God showed him mercy and healed him. And I'm so thankful to God for his healing, as I was spared from having the sorrow of losing him and top of all my other troubles. So you can see why I'm delighted to send him to you now. I know that you're anxious to see him and rejoicing in his healing, and it encourages me to know how happy you'll be to have him back. So warmly welcome him home in the Lord with joyous love and esteem him highly, for people like him deserve it. Because of me, he put his life on the line, despising the danger so that he could provide for me with what you couldn't since you were so far away, and he did it all because of his ministry for Christ. And so it might seem... Why continue with that? But it really, that passage continues, and it's just a really beautiful demonstration of that brotherly, unified, humble, sacrificial, surrendered life of love to Christ within within spiritual sons and daughters, within brothers and sisters in Christ, within the body of Christ, receiving ministers in the faith and fathers in the faith. And it's just, you know, the language of the pair of that is, you know, obviously beautiful. But Lord, we look upon your word that is true and living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces our soul. It pierces and exposes and shows what's hidden inside. And it reveals the intentions of the heart. It reveals our motivations. And so, Lord, just reading that is not only an encouragement and not only a stirring, but it's so convicting. It's so convicting. But to a place of joyous delight in what we get to partake in, what we're called to, who we're called as, not anything high and mighty. We're just called as kids, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, to say yes to the one who's calling our names and saying, hey, kids, come on, do not forget what I've done in your heart. Do not forget the blood that was spilt and how you were purchased out of the enemy's camp and out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. It wasn't for you, for your own personal interest. It wasn't for you to live this life with all of your own ambitions. It was to love me and to humble yourself and to commune with me, be one with me, go where I go, say what I say, take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me and live a glorious life of communion that no matter what trials, no matter what testing, no matter what seasons, no matter what comes, no matter what circumstances, you have the greatest joy, and that is knowing me and being one with me and being purchased by my blood. Because there is a promise coming. I will return. I am coming back. Lord, we're delighted in your promises and your word. We're delighting ourselves even now in your presence and what your word convicts us of and provokes us to and prompts us to respond to your holiness, Lord. To your love and to your beauty and to your splendor, that we are not our own. We are not our own. We have been bought and purchased, and we're slaves of righteousness. We're slaves to love. We belong to you, Lord. We belong to you, Jesus. We belong to you, Father. Our lives are not our own. We are not the commanders. We are not the ones in charge, Lord. You are. You are. And you are a perfect lover and a wonderful Father, and you give good gifts, and you only have the best interest in mind, and we can trust you, Lord. Even if you don't answer all of our questions, they lose their need when we look into your eyes and we see how great and how big you are. They fall to the ground. Their weightiness just loses it. Our questions lose their weight as we drop them in front of you and with open arms of surrender, lean in and embrace you. Embrace your suffering. Embrace your life. Embrace your resurrection. Embrace the fullness of Christ, who is all in all. Lord, light us up on the inside with this flame of love tonight in your presence, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. We honor you as the gift given to us that dwells on the inside of us until one day we are face to face with our beloved. We honor your presence in our lives, your power inside of us. We honor you with our choices. We honor you with the way that we live. We honor you with the way we respond. We honor you, Lord, with all that is in front of us as we step forward to incline our ear and hear what you are saying and what you are speaking in this hour, to count ourselves, Lord, as partakers, Father, in your glory in these end times that we're living in. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for what you're doing in the nations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Yes, Lord. We choose to love one another. We choose to encourage one another, stir one another as well. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you for your blood that is sprinkled on us, Lord, and purifies us. Even now as we take communion, Lord, together, we thank you for your body that's been broken for us, Lord. Your body that was torn open, and the wrath of God that came upon you for standing in the gap and receiving the judgment of heaven that we 100% deserved. Thank you, Jesus, for making us clean so that we can approach boldly the throne of heaven, the throne of grace. Thank you for the bold access you have provided for us to live in the place you always longed for us to live and to be. Let it be, Father, as we take this communion, Lord, and we submit our bodies, we submit our physical bodies to your authority, to your glory, to your splendor and majesty, as we submit our wills to you, as we submit our thoughts to you, as we submit and surrender our souls to you, purify us. Purify us, Lord. We repent. We repent, Lord, of sin, sinful ways, and the flesh rising above our spirit. Forgive us. Thank you for your mercy that cleanses us and purifies us. We are in need of you every moment of every day. We are weak without you, Lord. Thank God for your strength. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the new identity in being clothed in righteousness. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Where would we be without you? Your loving kindness and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Right now, cleanse us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Wash over us with your goodness and mercy as we receive this wonderful blessing, Lord, and the gift of life that comes through your blood and body, broken and spilled. Thank you for the newness of life we receive. In Jesus' name. Bless your holy, holy name. We're so grateful we have this sacred time every week. We can gather corporately, knowing many, many of our amazing, beloved friends are being where they need to be this evening. But we're so grateful that we're all coming together in this season and just continue to do it, Lord, by your spirit, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. Let it be, Father. We bless you. We bless you on the live stream watching or rewatching this, and just encourage you to come this Sunday for our 10:30 service, and we're launching our 100 hours of prayer and worship after service ends, and that will go into the week until Thursday, and we have beautiful corporate times, set apart corporately to gather for intercession on Sunday and Monday evening from 7 to 9, and Tuesday and Wednesday from 7 to 9 live worship. And then the middle of the night, we gather again from 2 to 4 a.m. for worship and intercession. But our doors are opened 24 hours for these 100 hours to those who would like to come in, commune with the Lord, intercede for the various things that are very much needing attention, as our attention as watchmen on the wall, to take our posts and to actively seek the heart of the Father and to pray out the word of the scriptures, the prophetic meaning behind what he's saying in his scripture. And so we have ways for you to do that and to partner with initiatives and on tables with many, many materials that you could partner with and read through and then gain understanding and knowledge so that you can better pray and be equipped to intercede. So we bless you. We love you, and have a wonderful evening.